We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is now 8:09 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Steele Talking. I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. It's great to be back with you. I know it's a difficult night. I know you're watching the Vikings game, many of you. But those that are listening, we sure appreciate you tuning in to WCCO. All right, right now we're going to talk a little bit about the Dreamers. I promised that earlier tonight, and I'm excited to bring our guest to the table. The political debate over the fate of Dreamers, undocumented immigrants brought to the U.S. as children, has overlooked just now, or just how many there are in the country today. You heard me just mention a moment ago, some have written 700,000, 800,000. I don't know where that number comes from, but it's really 3.6, around that amount, million of them. And those Dreamers are at the center of a budget battle in Washington, D.C. that is being blamed for this shutdown that is happening right now of our government. So let's get the latest update on what has transpired over the weekend and how it affects people across the country, including here in Minnesota. Kara Lynham of the Lynham Law Office in St. Paul is joining us. How are you, Kara?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Welcome to Steele Talking. You specialize in immigration law, correct?
Yep. I specialize only in immigration law.
Only in immigration law. Tell us a little about how this shutdown and DACA has affected your office and how busy you must be with the looming decisions for DACA.
Yeah. So the good news for the shutdown for immigration is that most immigration agencies will stay open during a shutdown because for citizenship and immigration services, they're funded by filing fees that immigrant applicants pay. And then the other services are considered essential, so they stay open. As far as Dreamers and DACA, the good news is that for now we can submit DACA applications, renewal applications for folks that already had DACA. But all of this has created certainly a lot of uncertainty for applicants and for their families, thinking about what's going to happen in the next 2 or 3 months here.
Right. Well, we've been really watching. America has been paying attention. But at the same time, we keep hearing the nuances of the definition of Dreamers and DACA and what it means both ways. Give us a clear understanding of what we're dealing with and how it's ever changing.
Yeah. So DACA and the Dream Act, they sort of work together, but they're two separate things.
Right.
So DACA is the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program started by President Obama. That's for people who came here before they were 16.
And that was in 2014, right?
Yep, 2012 they started it.
2012.
You had to be under 16 when you got here. You had to have been here as of June 2007. You had to be undocumented as of June 2012. Various criminal bars to it, so you have to pretty much have a clean record. And then you could get a 2-year work permit. So that's all DACA was. It wasn't a path towards anything. It was just work permission, which then allows you to get a driver's license and a Social Security number. For the DREAM Act, that would be sort of a better thing because that would be a pathway forward to more permanent status, like permanent residence and eventual citizenship. Mm-hmm. And it depends on which version of the DREAM Act moves forward, on how many more people it would include. It may be more applicants than had DACA. It could be the same. That's, I think, still being negotiated.
Okay. So how many DREAMers have actually applied for citizenship? Do you know what the numbers are like?
Well, for citizenship, probably none, because in order to get out of DACA you would have had to have some other way to go into permanent residence, which is a step before citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be a permanent resident for 3 or 5 years, depending on if you're married to a citizen or not, to be eligible for citizenship. So I guess in theory there could be a couple, but I haven't seen any numbers on that.
You know, the thing is, we know that the whole process of citizenship can take years. There have been people who have been waiting for 8 to 15 years to get citizenship, and it hasn't happened for them yet. How in the world do they expect the Dreamers to deal with this, and how in the world do they expect to actually deport 3.6 million Dreamers? How are they living with themselves to do that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I ask myself that every day. I mean, I don't know how they could actually do that, right? I mean, our immigration court system, which is the one that orders the deportation, they already have like a 680,000 case backlog. So So to add that many cases to it, even if you hired hundreds of new judges, it's going to create, it's going to break our immigration court system.
And we already have a nightmare in our immigration
court. Yeah.
Okay, so where do we go from here? What do you hope to see now that the government has shut down? Let's just say it stays shut down for another, 5 to 7 days. You feel like the Dreamers will stay in the conversation? Because now we've got one of the senators coming forward and the Republican saying, Mitch McConnell, saying, you know, I will, if you bring the government, if you open the government again, then we might have a talk about DACA and the Dreamers. And then you've got the other side going, no, because we can't trust you, right?
Yeah, that's not good enough for me. And it's not good enough for my clients. Might, you know, maybe having a vote in the future doesn't help them feel secure enrolling for school, where their kids are going to live, if they can pay their mortgage. So they need to just include the DREAM Act in the spending bill and get it over with.
They already have
a bipartisan agreement. It's 80-some percent of Americans support it. It's super easy if they would just do it.
Do you feel like we're not making enough noise about this?
I think more noise could be made. I think there are plenty of people screaming about it, but I think more people calling our senators and our congresspeople to remind them how important the DREAM Act is would go a long way. To let them know this is important to Minnesotans.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the young people that have come forward to say, hey, I'm a dreamer. I'm going to tell you right now, I am not a citizen. I'm speaking out. I'm taking the chance to tell my story.
It's so brave. It's so brave of them to do that, especially in today's climate where there's so much more hatred and just vitriol than there used to be. So I'm really grateful to the dreamers that have come forward and told their story, because their stories are what are so persuasive and so heartwarming and so moving for people to hear that maybe wouldn't normally hear that in their day-to-day life.
Can you tell me about your day-to-day life from the time that you went from President Obama to President Trump and how that has changed your business?
Probably not allowed to swear on the radio. It's
right.
Been bad.
Yeah.
It's gone from, you know, a lot of counsel. It almost feels like being a therapist sometimes, of explaining to people why they don't have to be worried if they're in a stable status, or having really heartbreaking conversations like, okay, if ICE knocks on your door and they take you, who is going to take care of your kids? We need to figure that out now so we have a plan. So talking about that stuff was never part of the equation before. And it's really almost it's a daily conversation, you know, between all these things at this point.
The Dreamers were really separated from, you know, those that came into this country illegally. The Dreamers under President Obama were separated out and said, hey, these children had nothing to do with it. Leave them alone. Now they're thrown into the fray. So now you've got safe cities. They're being attacked, you know, the safe houses, the churches that you could go to, that sort of thing. And so now, is there a greater need for us to have more safe cities, more safe houses, more churches that are taking in Dreamers and dealing with this?
I mean, I think every city should have sanctuary policies, because there's no reason for local law enforcement to be enforcing federal immigration laws. Federal immigration laws are a civil matter. There's nothing really criminal in there. So to have local law enforcement asking someone who is just a victim of a fender bender what their immigration status is completely inappropriate. So if more cities had sanctuary policies, then we would have fewer people going into the deportation pipeline. So that would be, it would be great to see more of those.
You know, what scares me is concentration camps. You know, a lot of people say, there's no way, Geraldine, that can happen. You can forget it. Don't even think about it. Do you think about it?
I've volunteered at for-profit detention jails down in Texas. And the people that are in there are only immigrant asylum seekers with their kids. And they actually had someone who was in a Japanese internment camp come visit one of them, and she said it was striking how similar it felt. And that was really kind of a scary moment.
Mm-hmm. It's very frightening to me. You know, you look at 1940 versus today. You look at 127 or so, 130,000 Japanese that were interned versus, you know, 3.6 million. And it seems impossible. But I have to tell you, you know, these Republicans, what we're dealing with right now, they can take land way out somewhere and just go, okay, put everybody on this. And it's frightening to me what they think can be done. What we thought was not possible, you know, just a year ago, now seems possible.
Yeah, it's really scary. And the way that this administration has become so friendly with for-profit prisons, and the way those are popping up even more, it's really the sky's the limit at that point, because they all they want are profits to detain people. So The impossible is certainly possible now.
How does your day begin tomorrow?
Well, I'm going to go through my emails, try to get through phone calls, try to get on the phone with people who should be renewing their DACA, still getting through that. I'm guessing it'll be a lot of phone calls, a lot of talking to people about how the government shutdown affects their pending cases or the case they were about to file. The good news for them, because it'll still move forward, but the shutdown will sort of impact my day-to-day life in that way.
That's for sure. Are you married with children?
No.
Wow. So you spend a lot of your time thinking about this,
yeah.
If not all of it.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
This is my full existence at this point.
I need to bottle you. I mean, send you a bottle of something in the mail. Look, hang in there. We really appreciate you fighting so hard for those that need you. And, I hope that you have a whole team of people that are fortified and ready to move forward with this. Thank you for what you do, Kara.
Well, thank you for covering it. I really appreciate that.
All right. You take care.
You too.
That is Kara Lynam, and the name of her law firm is Lynam Law. If you want more information, just go to lynamlaw.com. That is spelled L-Y-N as in Nancy, U-M as in money, law.com. Lynamlaw.com, and her name is Kara. I don't know about you, but I get chills just thinking about where this could go, what corner we could turn as a nation. Very frustrating. We're going to take a break. You are listening to Steele Talking. I am your host, Geraldine Steele. We'll be back in a moment.
Radio.com.
It is now 8:22 here at WCCO. My goodness, we have to finish out this half hour by giving you a little update on how Vikings fans are doing, handling what's happening right now in the game. What are you seeing, Brendan, on social media specifically?
My highlight so far of people that I don't know just reading their tweets is hashtag Minnesota Vikings, hashtag NFC Championship game. That feeling when the best performance you saw this game was the Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, ouch. Who sang the Star Spangled Banner, by the way?
I don't even know.
they didn't even say who did it?
No.
Oh, that's painful, man.
I just showed you the picture, but it was a picture of one of my good friends shared him and a picture of his daughter watching the 2009 NFC title game.
The 2009.
And then watching this one. And, you know, she's a lot older now. And,
yeah.
And the caption is, a tradition built on disappointment.
Yeah, she looks terribly disappointed, by the way. Thanks for showing me that picture. You got any more for us?
Oh, I
know there's so many that have expletives all over it, right?
I'm trying to find the ones I can actually repeat.
Oh.
I liked this one. Most ellipsis, so dot, dot, dot. Most ellipsis, Vikings ellipsis thing ever.
Oh. So, you know, what do you think will be said on tomorrow? In fact, tonight after the game, we're actually going to have Eric Nelson join us.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to hear from him what he thought about the whole game. And I'm really curious to know who got in their head. I'm just hoping that they can let go of it within the amount of time that we still have. But
so if it was me wearing the case just threw another interception,
yep.
Maybe we should stop talking about it.
Maybe we should stop talking about it.
No, if it was me, I'm going to say that, listen, the Vikings barely beat the Saints, and it took a miracle to do it.
It did.
So, and then they spent this week hearing from a lot of people how good they were. And then they showed up to Philly, who was the number one seed in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
They're the top team in the conference. If you were in any way taking this team lightly, and I believe that could have been possible, especially because that first drive seemed easy for the Vikings, then they fell asleep, and you can't do that on Philly. You can't do it. Everyone in the playoffs is good. You can kind of sleep through some games in the regular season because you'll just be a lot better than some teams.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in the playoffs is good. And the number one thing on this station, if you listen this week, everyone was talking about it. It seems very basic. Like, it's almost the level of a truism. But we're saying you cannot turn the ball over. And what have the Vikings done? They've given the ball to Philly over and over and over again.
But throughout this whole time of them playing from the beginning to now, right? And I think you said they've lost, what, three games total? You know, they've inched their way forward. And then to get to this point, it's got to be so much stress on them as well. And we wanted them to get this all the way in and to win it. Is it too late? Tell me, from what you're saying, is it too late with 38-7?
I mean, we got 6 minutes left and they just turned the ball over. Barring something completely miraculous, like Philly would have to fumble the ball on two consecutive drives and give it back to you. And then you'd probably have to, you have to score quickly, and then you'd have to kick an onside kick. And listen, nothing's impossible, but at this point, it is so far outside the realm of probable that you can just go ahead and say this game is over.
So you've given up?
Yes, I'm bowing to reality on this case. Now, I would love for the Vikings to prove me wrong, and I will personally apologize to every member of that roster if they were to somehow do this. I do not see how, especially with this team playing as they have so far this game, I don't see how they can make up this deficit. Now, the team that showed up in the first half of the Saints game, they might be able to do it. The team that won all those games during the regular season, they might be able to.
But they didn't show up tonight,
yeah,
you're saying.
This is a ride that the wheels came off of real quick.
I'm trying to breathe.
Well, and Eric, Eric's way more of a sports guy than I will, so he'll have an expert informed take.
Yeah.
But I think it just
But that's what we want to hear. We want to hear what the fans are thinking, what those that have supported them, those that have been praying and hoping and just saying, please go, and cheering and almost having a heart attack. That's who we want to hear from. But we also want to hear from Eric. I can't wait to talk to him in the 9 o'clock hour when this is all over with. We're actually going to take your calls, by the way, as soon as this game is done. And I think it's a post game show. So about 9 o'clock, we usually start center stage, but we're actually going to take your calls. And those that really feel strongly about it, do give us a call. We're not asking for any profanity. We're not asking. We're just asking you to give us what you really feel about this, because they have truly come a long, long way.
Unburden your weary heart. Call us up, and if you feel like some complaining will lead to catharsis, then you do that. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, just without profanity.
Yeah, that's kind of a thing. Don't do that.
Don't do that. So the numbers are 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. Remember, this is going to happen at 9 o'clock. As soon as the game is over, the post-game show is over, we're going to open up the phone lines and take your calls. We want to hear from you and know how you're feeling about it all. I'm just hoping that they score more. Even if they get up to 21 or 28, I would be really thrilled.
Make it seem a little less pitiful at this point.
Well, you know, it's hard. It's got to be really. And I'm feeling for them. I'm thinking about their wives. If there was one interview I would have wanted to have from the Vikings camp, it would have been the wives of the players.
Well, and
the significant others.
And
the
you
players.
Hit on something that's important. It's hard to score on teams in the playoffs. They're all really good.
Yeah.
And that's why we talked about, like, you can't be giving people extra chances in this situation.
Yeah. Anyway, it breaks my heart. 651-989-9226 or outside the metro area, 1-866-989-9226. If you'd like to call in after 9 o'clock, just let us know. Okay, we've got another guest coming up, and then at 9 o'clock, we're going to go with your calls. We want to hear from you. We want to know how you're handling it. It's all over social media. Those that want to curse and scream, you can do that. But please, we look forward to hearing from you. Just a regular Joe like me, then fine. We just want to know how you're feeling about your team tonight. They've come a long, long way. Are you proud of where they've come from? Do you feel like they, you know, even if they score two or three more touchdowns, do you feel like, oh, man, you know, we were right there. We just can't wait to hear from you. It's time for us to talk about our team and how far they have come, what has been accomplished. How about that? We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
It's 8:33 here at WCCO. Yes, you are listening to Steele Talkin', and I am your host, Geraldine Steele. I don't know if you've heard, but the Science Museum of Minnesota is pleased to announce 2018 as the Year of the Engineer. Now, that's presented by 3M, and it's big plans to celebrate creativity and ingenuity throughout the year. The Science Museum's goal is to provide engineering-related experiences to more than 1 million people, reaching all 87 Minnesota counties throughout the year. So what are some of the important things that we need to know about engineers and how they help mold Minnesota in the 21st century? Well, joining me is Commissioner Shantara Hardy. She is Commissioner of Employment and Economic Development joining us tonight. Shantara Hardy, welcome to Steel Talkin'.
Thank you for having me.
So glad.
Doing well.
Oh, I'm doing very well. Good to hear your voice. You know, I stand a little taller having you there as commissioner. We are very, very proud of you. So,
Thank you so much.
So, have you been watching the game?
I am sitting over here with a small old tear in my eyes with less than 3 minutes left. And yeah.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? It's really tough. So let's talk about something else. All right. So tell us a little bit about some of the rewards and challenges as Commissioner of Employment and Economic Development. This is a big job.
It is a big job, but it's an important place to be as we think about Minnesota's economy. Overall, we're in a great place. We have an overall unemployment rate of about 3%. But as we look at how we prepare for the future, workforce is our number one focus. We have a very tight labor market with such a low overall unemployment rate. And so making sure that we're investing in the places where our businesses actually need, that's the focus that we have moving forward.
So this is how you got involved with the Science Museum's the Year of the Engineer?
The Year of the Engineer, yes. You know, as we think about where are our jobs growing, in the engineering space and specifically in the broader what we call STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, those jobs are growing at very rapid pace. You know, over the past 10 years in Minnesota, growth in STEM jobs has been about three times greater than the growth of non-STEM jobs. And so you look at economic projections, you're just seeing those occupations increasing year over year. And so such a great opportunity and such an amazing initiative that the Science Museum, just to really highlight and elevate and excite people to really want to understand the engineering field.
It used to be, you know, one of those fields that people thought, oh, my God, you have to be brilliant in order to be an engineer. But President Obama kind of helped us realize that, you know, with a lot of the STEM programs that were opening up in our nation and in Minnesota, especially, you know, from high school to junior high to, you know, to even children being involved in STEM. We've done a remarkable job with the STEM programs in public and private schools, right?
We have done a really great job to, number one, break down the barriers to access to those occupations, but also the mystery that, you know, lies behind those career fears. That as you think about a number of different opportunities in the workforce, a lot of the backbone is in the science and technology space. You know, you think about medical technology, which is really big here in Minnesota. We are leading the way. You think about advanced manufacturing. It's a lot of our occupations are not kind of your grandmother's occupation, so to speak. They are really being just advanced, and innovation is happening based on the work that's happening in the STEM field.
Right. And no matter what your field is that you're in, the high tech is definitely impacting it. So you might as well learn about STEM, might as well learn about what engineers do, because engineers are really affecting just about every part of who we are economically and with employment. So I'm really glad that the Science Museum is doing this. You know, over the decades, Shantara, you know, you see something new rise up that, you know, the biggest and newest thing when it comes to employment. But technology, in fact, science, technology, engineering, math, all of that has been at the forefront now for what, 4 decades maybe?
Yes, yes. And that is how we have continued to innovate as we bring in kind of those new technologies, emerging discoveries. We are seeing every field go to the next level. And having just our education system connected to that is also making a huge difference. We have this continuum of opportunity in the STEM field. You can get experience at a four-year college, at a two-year college, as an apprentice, you know, the on-the-job training, you know, in high school related to, you know, technical opportunities. And so the opportunity to be in that field is open to many. And that's what's exciting about it, because that's where our future is going.
Well, we have to remove the fear, that's for sure, right? And hopefully,
absolutely.
How will what they're doing at the Science Museum, how will they be able to reach those who don't understand the verbiage? You know, you think of engineering, you think, there's no way I'm going to understand that, but we can change that.
Absolutely. The thing that is so awesome about the Science Museum is that with their exhibits, with their educational tools, they're meeting people where they are. And they're doing that from a level of understanding, but they're also doing that from a physical standpoint with the work they're going to be doing in 87 counties. And so that is, you know, where that access and opportunity is going to come into play. And it's going to be exciting over this next year. And the other part about it, it's fun. They are building in the fun. And sometimes when it comes to thinking about mathematics and engineering, we don't equate that to fun. But the work that they're going to do over the next year at the Science Museum is really going to be fantastic. And I'm really excited about it.
As commissioner, do you look down the road like the Science Museum is already doing this particular exhibit? And they're really reaching out to children as well as families. There's no doubt about that. Is this something that was also in your purview when you took this job? You said, look, we're going to not only let adults know where we're going with employment and try to retrain and that sort of thing, but are we also reaching out to the children? And is that part of your job?
Yes. My agency, in addition to focusing on adult employment, we also focus on youth employment. And so we get the opportunity to fund amazing youth programs. For example, Right Track, Urban Scholars in Minneapolis, Step Up Minneapolis, Star of the North. We are investing in those opportunities so that people can be on the job and have kind of a vision, a possibility of what they can do. And so our investment is our young people, our investment carries on into adult programs. And so we are able to really work in partnership with our local communities, work in partnership with our local workforce boards and, you know, our other state agencies to really impact that workforce continuum and really make sure that we are providing access to as many opportunities that we can.
Right. 18 out of the 20 fastest growing occupations will be tied to STEM disciplines, it says on the Science Museum's website. Yet we have a president who is saying, you know, we're going to bring back coal. We're going to bring back certain industries whose technology has already changed. And many of those that were laid off and have not been working in those industries need to be retrained. Are we looking at, do we realize in the state of Minnesota, because we have the Iron Range and that sort of thing, do we realize that what they're doing in STEM also has to carry over to all jobs? And so we all need to be invested in this.
Absolutely. And that work is happening on the Iron Range. My agency, in partnership with the IRRRB, which is the Iron Range Resources Board, other local organizations and local government in the Iron Range, we are all working together with Minnesota State and other entities to do that retraining, to provide access to those opportunities, you know, as well as, you know, those industries that are our traditional coal industries, they too are looking, you know, to invest in these advancements in technology because it's about staying competitive. And we have to make sure that every part of the state remains competitive. And so all of our programs are open to every part of the state, and making sure that we are being thoughtful about the programs we invest in. Because what works in Bemidji may look different in North St. Paul, may look different in Matamita. So it's something that we have to do in partnership to make sure we're meeting Minnesotans where they are.
Exactly. Finally, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years as commissioner under Dayton? You know, you've been there now for almost 2 years. Do I have that correct?
I'll be on my second year in April.
In April, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you first came on board and everyone was reading your bio, you're young, you're vibrant, you know, you're going for it, you know, and it just makes me feel so great. So as you look forward to and wanting to accomplish the things that are listed on the website for you, right? You've listed what you want to accomplish. How mm-hmm. are you doing with it?
We're doing well. We have a lot of work to do. In some of our key areas overall, as I said, you know, in employment, we're doing well. What we have to make sure that we keep a laser focus on is economic disparities that exist in our communities of color, our communities where Minnesotans have disabilities. We have to make sure we keep a laser target because our economy will not continue as we have seen it over the past decades if we do not make those investments in Minnesotans that are on the sidelines. And so that work continues, and that's our focus. I wish I had a crystal ball to know 5 years from now, but we are in this administration taking advantage of all 24 hours and making sure that we are investing, we are working to break down barriers, to improve how we do business at the state. And that has been the focus of the Dayton administration. And that's what we're doing. We're not trying to jump to the fourth quarter. We're taking every minute that we can to make sure that when we are done with the administration, that we have done everything, moved everything that we committed to do to make sure that Minnesota works for everyone.
That's right. So we don't even have time for 5 years, do we? I'm going to miss this governor. Can I just say I am truly, truly going to miss him. And will you stay on or is that up to the next governor?
It's up to the next governor.
Of course it is. Man. Well, well done. Thank you so much
for coming on
tonight. I sure appreciate it.
And we still will cheer on our Vikings when they come home. We still want them to bring it home.
That's right. Bring it home because they have really accomplished the incredible, right?
Absolutely.
They have. Shantara Harder. Thank you so much, Commissioner.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Shantara is Minnesota's Commissioner of Employment and Economic Development, also known as DEED, Department of Employment and Economic Development. So I encourage you to go to the website and see what all that they are doing and accomplishing. Also want to let you know that the Minnesota Science Museum is really going out of their way to make this pretty special. It says on their website they've woven engineering activities and the creativity, inventiveness, and persistent inherent in them into its programming for years. And so they've been kind of looking forward to doing this for a while. And, of course, the events related to the Year of the Engineer include the following, with more to be announced throughout the year. That's the Omni Theater Films, Dream Big, Engineering is Our World, and Living in the Age of Airplanes. Featured exhibits include Towers of Tomorrow with Lego bricks, a cardboard engineering gallery, an interactive exhibit on biomechanics called The Machine Inside, and an experimental building exhibit called Kevo Planks. So this may sound ridiculous to some people, or Kevo Planks, I should say, but really, if you think back on, if anyone listening is over 60 years old, you think back on your childhood and what type of toys were available for you. Some of the engineers of today were those that played with, you know, the toys. There weren't Legos necessarily back then, but I'm trying to think of the toys, the sticks that you would build with. And it started with big blocks, and then it went to smaller things and more intricate things and make it more difficult. And people came up with amazing ideas, and it really introduced them to so much more than just blocks. And so I applaud the commissioner and the Science Museum, particularly for going forward, trying to reach the children, trying to reach the families and let them know you too can become an engineer. So this will be the Year of the Engineer. That's a big deal, you guys. It's really big, and I'm thrilled that Minnesota is a part of this. So if you want more information, you can always go to the Science Museum website, which is smm smm.org, for Science Museum of Minnesota, smm.org. Our Governor Dayton has already declared January 18th, the Year of the Engineer, which was pretty cool. As the Year of the Engineer, it's presented again by 3M and its big plans to celebrate creativity and ingenuity throughout the year. So if you get a chance, go and check out all that it has. I know I sure will. And if my grandchildren were here, I would be taking them as well. All right. It is now 8:48. We're going to take a break and come back in just a moment.
Radio.com.
It is now 8:51 here at WCCO. Let's talk about trucks, trucks, trucks. General Motors, or GM supplier, pricing on all 2018 SLT crew cabs at McCarthy Auto World. See dealer for details. Okay, we have a few minutes to talk, you guys. Can we just say we know that the game is over? Brendan is actually breathing. He's having a problem breathing. You know, I might have to, you know, call the paramedics, but I think he's going to be okay. He's still walking. Thank goodness. And I'm only laughing because I'm trying not to cry. I even though I have not been a great supporter of the Vikings as far as being a fan, I can't say I'm a fan. I have rooted them on and wanted them to win, absolutely, but I did not watch the games. I was the fair weather fan, and I just didn't feel like I deserved to watch it tonight, and so I really relied on Brendan with his physicality to let me know how it was doing. And my goodness, did I know. Eagles 38 to and Vikings 7. And in the Twin Cities, Pioneer Press, the headline is Eagles rout out Vikings ends dream of playing Super Bowl at home. Eagles 38-7 rout out Vikings ends dream of playing Super Bowl at home. And we have a winter storm coming, so imagine that. It's really frustrating, isn't it? Now, I want you to know that we are going to talk about this right after 9 o'clock, after CBS, and really want to hear from you how you're doing with it all. What do you have to say to the Vikings? You know, they're in Philadelphia. It's going to be a hard plane ride home. Star Tribune headlines, Vikings suffer shocking blowout loss to Eagles, 38-7 in NFC Championship game. There were no miracles in Philadelphia. The Vikings lost a 6th NFC. Man. Painful. We were just talking about that, Brendan. You're as good as your last game. That's it. And everyone's been calling it the Minnesota miracle, the Vikings miracle from the last game before this one. And then right under that headline, after you see that story, it says Southern Minnesota braces for heavy snowfall blizzard conditions. It's like, what? Who was in charge? Goodness.
When it rains, it snows.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go, right? There you go. So we want to hear from you. We want to know what you have to say to the Vikings and after 9 o'clock. The phone numbers are 651-989-9226. Or 1-866-989-9226, whether you love them or you don't, whether you're disappointed or you're really proud of how far they've gotten, how far they got, just give us a call here. We are expecting to talk to Eric Nelson. I'm really excited to hear his take on everything, what he thought went wrong or went right. There will be so many, you know, Monday couch coaches that will, you know, have a lot to say. And you will hear a whole lot about it tomorrow right here on WCCO. So do stay tuned. I'm honored to be here tonight. Even though they did not win, there's a lot to say about them. There's a lot to say about what they accomplished, because most people didn't think they would ever get this far. But it is painful, isn't it? So don't forget the numbers, 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989. And then, yes, we will do a little bit of center stage. We will have guests on at 9, I believe it's 9:30 is my first guest. So we're giving you half an hour. I just can't wait to talk to you about this, and I know you have a whole lot to say. So stay tuned, 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. 9226. And yes, Michael Battle will be joining me tonight, my son, and I will do the Mom and Michael Hour. I'm excited to have him on. It feels so weird not being on for so long. For a month, it seems like I've been gone. I think I have been gone 4 Sundays in a row. So I've really missed you terribly. And it's sad that we have to, you know, say goodbye to the Vikings and that we're not going to see them right here in the Twin Cities at our own U.S. Stadium, U.S. Bank Stadium. In 2 weeks, but wow, I would just love to know what went wrong. I'm just not sure. What do you think went wrong, Brendan? Do you know? I mean, what is your assessment of it? You think they just gave up, or you said earlier that you felt like they went in, got the touchdown right away, and then
I think they put the cart before the horse to a great deal. Like they spent all week kind of hearing about how good they were from people, and then. People were, you know, implicitly looking past the Eagles a little bit, and I think you can't act like you're a champion before you've won anything.
So what is it about teams that, you know, because there are some teams that are told that how good they are, and they still keep winning.
Right. I think you need to have accomplished something first. The Vikings haven't ever won a championship.
Right.
So, I mean, it's one thing to be confident, and then there's hubris, right? And I think we may have been seeing more of that second one.
Yeah.
Rather than the first.
I wonder if my brothers are breathing. You know, I have one brother who is a Bears fan, so, you know, he's okay.
Well, I mean, will we have local news coming up here in 5 minutes?
Jeez.
With Susie.
Yeah, and Susie is sticking around. She's stuck around all night tonight so far just to be able to report on this because she's such a Vikings fan. She's dedicated. She's dressed in her Vikings gear. She's ready to go.
She's a trooper. She
hung in there. She's a trooper. But boy, you know, she ducked her head in just a moment ago and didn't say a word.
I imagine the mood around here will be a little somber tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Just a little bit.
Absolutely. Anyway, Vikings, for the Vikings fans that are listening, you know, try to find the silver lining.
You have to. I mean, when I was younger, I used to be a lot more of like the sports super fan. That's not really the case for me anymore. But, you know, you can't let this kind of thing, I mean, as sort of annoying as it is that this happened, like it should not be affecting you by tomorrow.
Right.
It's really, you just watched a game.
It will, but
it shouldn't.
Yeah. And I think the Bars are going to do really well tonight.
I
think they were going to do well anyway.
Yeah. Regardless, they would do well. But
there'll be some people crying in their suit.
Yeah. The trade will be brisk.
Yeah,
we can just say that it'll be a good night as far as the break evens.
Take it easy. Don't drink and drive. Do not drink and drive. Find a way to get a Uber, a Lyft, or something, a bus, cab. You do it. Do not drive drunk tonight, because I know many of you are probably really upset and just ready to drink yourself into a stupor. I hope my brothers are breathing. Really, because they have been talking about this. My brother JD was the one who kept saying, Gerilyn, don't even talk about the Super Bowl and the Vikings. Don't jinx.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.